And it's good to see everybody out this morning. Always good to come together and study and worship as we're given the opportunity to fulfill the commands in which God has given to us. Grateful that you're here today. Again, ask that you open up your Bibles and follow along to go through the lesson this morning to make sure that the truth is being taught. We hope that all are encouraged as we go throughout our worship. Again, we appreciate those who are visiting with us. Most probably, of course, if you grab a bulletin, you've read the title just from the scripture reading. Many probably come to see a little bit on what we're talking about from Hebrews chapter 10, verses 24 and 25. And again, as it talks about our assembly together. So the title of the lesson is Are You Encouraging or Discouraging? And it's primarily focused upon our assembling as we gather together, our worship right now, our Bible class that we just had a little while ago, Bible class on Wednesday nights, and of course our evening services that we'll have tonight. Are you encouraging or discouraging? And as I ask that question, I have to examine myself to make sure that I'm doing my part. I know that there are times in which I lack in making sure that I'm doing all that I can to encourage not just some of the brethren, but all the brethren, all the brothers and sisters in Christ that are members here, any who may visit with us as we gather together, doing our part and being uplifted and building up and encouraging. Now, I bring that point up, but I also want to make sure before we get into the lesson, understand that not all lessons are necessarily encouraging, right? That as I bring out the point of asking the question, are we encouraging or discouraging one another in our worship, in our assembling, we understand that there are going to be lessons that come forth that are not necessarily encouraging. Turn along with me to 2 Timothy 3. 2 Timothy 3, verses 16 and 17. It says, all scripture is inspired by God and is profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be adequate, equipped for every good work. And so as we take time to think about what the Word of God does for us, that it is there and it can build up and it can encourage, and we can do our lessons on love, and we can do our lessons on like we talked about this morning, think about Daniel and how encouraging it is to see that his faith and his prayer, and that he was not going to allow anything to deter him from doing what he believed he needed to do for his faith, to worship his God. And so there's a lot of encouraging lessons, but there also is correcting lessons. There are lessons in which we are correcting others, that we are rebuking one another. When we sing, we're teaching and admonishing one another. And so there's times in which the songs we sing can be a way of, oh man, I'm doing wrong, I need to step it up. There are lessons in which we go forth and we bring out points in which people need to correct things and they need to repent of their sins, right? So those aren't necessarily encouraging, other than we would say they're encouraging people to make their lives right. They're encouraging to do the right thing, even though we're pointing out their sin. And so as I get into the lesson this morning, I know right away that there may be some who may not be happy about the lesson. They may say it's not the most encouraging lesson. And I hope, though, it doesn't come across as discouraging, but truly encouraging to examine the scriptures and then examine yourself, as we're told to do. And make sure that we're doing our part to, yes, worship God, but also to do our part for each other as we gather together and we worship together. Because if you read with me there in Hebrews 10 and in verse 25, going back to that, Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 24, the first part I want to talk about is says, let us consider how. Right? Let us consider how to stimulate one another to love and good deeds, not forsaking our own assembly together as in the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. And so in these verses, it talks about our assembling together. And when we assemble, what are we doing? We're praising God, right? We sing hymns to praise our God with our mouth, with our hearts. We gather together, remember the sacrifice of Christ, and give Him thanks for it, asking Him to continue to bless us, thanking Him for the forgiveness of our sins. What do we do during our worship? We pray to Him, right? We pray to our God, again, giving Him thanks, asking Him to be with us, but and then we also give back to Him, right? And so most of the worship, as we go through, yeah, it's a worship to God.
What we call worship.
Our assembling is to worship God. Our assembling is to praise Him. Our assembling is to let Him know how grateful we are, to give ourselves and sacrifice in our voices, in our hearts, our spirits, to worship Him in spirit and truth. But the other side of this is that we're here for one another also. We're here for one another. The assembling of the church, right? The assembling together, encouraging one another, stimulate one another. In these two verses, again, three different ways in which it points out that we're considering each other. When we think about singing, teaching, and admonishing one another, when we're teaching Bible class, it's not a class when it's just myself. It's me studying. That's an individual study. But when we have others here, it's a study with each other. When we go forth and we go through the lesson, it's with each other. When we look at the Lord's Supper and what it tells us there in 1 Corinthians 11, that it's to be done together. And so our worship, yes, is to God, but while we worship God, we're here to help one another. And so I ask you, when you choose whether you're going to be here or not going to be, when you choose how you're going to come in those doors, how you're going to continue in your worship, what you're going to do as we sing songs, and everything else as we do gather and assemble with one another, are you considering everyone around you? Everyone that's in the building today, everyone that's a member here at Westside, do we consider one another? Look with me also in Romans. Romans chapter 12, verses 9 and 11. Romans chapter 12, and starting there in verse 9. It says, let love be without hypocrisy. Abhor what is evil, cling to what is good. Be devoted to one another in brotherly love. Give preference to one another in honor. Not lagging behind in diligence, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope, persevering in tribulation, devoted to prayer. And so as it goes forth and lists these things that we should be doing, that should be in our heart, and that we continue to let love grow and do not be hypocrites. In the midst of all that, it says, be devoted to one another. Right? Oftentimes, when we end up missing worship, it's due to an individual reason. Now again, we'll get into the whole point. There are times in which we can't make it. I know that. I understand that. I know when someone's sick, you can't be here. I know when you get in the car and the car has a flat tire and you didn't know and now you ran out of time, you can't make it. Know some people who work on call, and they get that phone call, and they can't come because they have to go to work. There's times, right? We've been recently studying the life of Christ. We are studying the life of Christ on Sunday nights, and we've gone through three or four lessons that Jesus pointed out that there are circumstances on the Sabbath in which He did certain things that if you want to be nitpicky and get caught down to the nit and grit of the law, well, it seems like He might be, you know, not keeping it whole. You know, when they ate some grains, or when He healed on the Sabbath, or when they did this or that, and then Jesus put them in their place. Like, you know, Jesus never sinned. So there's times, there's circumstances, I get it. But are we considering each other? Are we considering one another when we come together? Do we have that brotherly love mindset of when we gather together? In Philippians chapter 2, In Philippians chapter 2 and verse 1, if you will, Philippians 2 and verse 1, it says, therefore, if there's any encouragement in Christ, if there's any consolation of love, if there's any fellowship of the Spirit, if any affection and compassion, make my joy complete by being of the same mind, maintaining the same love, united in spirit, intent one on one purpose. Do nothing from selfishness or empty conceit, but with humility of mind, regard one another as more important than yourself. Do not merely look out for your own personal interests, but also the interests of the others. Again, you know, when we take a mind like Christ, we are truly considering others before yourself. Truly considering each one. And as we take example from Galatians 6 and then in verse 10 where it tells us, do good unto all. And then it goes on to say, especially those of the household of saints. Especially our brothers and sisters in Christ, right? Yeah, we're supposed to love everybody. But we should have more love for our brothers and sisters in Christ. It's true, right? It's in the same way of following our God. Our God loves everybody. John 3, verse 16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believed in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. God loves the world. He desires all to be saved. He desires all to come to repentance. But then we go to Matthew 6, and verse 33, when it talks about not worrying about what you eat, what you wear, and what you drink, right? And in verse 33 says, but seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all of these things will be added to you. God says, who will he make sure has the necessities of life? Those who obey him. Those who are his children. Because they have obeyed his commands. They have given their lives over to him. They have been baptized, washed their sins away, and they put him first in their lives. God loves everybody. But he has promised certain things to his children that he has not promised to those who have not given themselves over to him. Who have not received the spirit of adoption. And so we have a love for everybody, but we should have a special love for our brothers and sisters here at Westside. For our brothers and sisters in Christ that are members elsewhere and that are visiting us. And so I ask you, are you considering one another? And as we take this, this is going to be hopefully your main mindset. And we go through the rest of the points this morning. Continue asking this question. Do you consider others when you make other decisions? Do you consider others when you are not here? I know I've slightly got into this point already, but again, we see that there in Hebrews 10, right? Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves. Not forsaking the assembling of the saints. Do we consider others, our brothers and sisters in Christ, when making those decisions? Now, if you're sick, there's a little bit of both I'm going to say on that. You're too sick, you're sitting yourself, you need to get better so you stay home. But also on the other side, we're considering our brethren because we're trying not to spread it. And so we're considering them, right? You chose to stay home because you're sick, you can't be here. What about other times? What about other times that we're not here? And again, this is going to be between you and God because I don't know the reason why people aren't always here. Sometimes you find out and you sit there and question. You know, in my opinion, your opinion, what is this justified? So I can only use myself as an example. Everybody knows that I love sports, love coaching sports, I love doing that, but I never allow sports to come in front of God. I'm trying to make sure my kids understand. And so I have to consider, you know, what all can I consider when those times come up? I can consider myself. Right? When State for Wrestling came up and we had to miss out on it, I'd love to go coach some of the boys that place pretty high. Top 10. I'd love to see how Josiah would have done if he'd have wrestled. He was qualified to go. I would love her to consider Josiah. And his encouragement of being able to go and what that would do for him and, you know, set him up for this coming up year and what that could do. Now, there's a lot of consideration there, but then it comes back to, well, am I considering my brother? What about my brother when I say, hey, wrestling's more important than church. I'm going to miss Sunday so I can go to wrestling. It's happened during baseball. Both, probably all kids, one year or another. And I remember when I was a kid. I remember when I was going to sports, you know. You try to work around it as much as possible, but when the time came for to go to worship, when the time came to go to Bible study on Wednesday night, we left. We left again. We simply just didn't go. Why? Because, one, we're putting God first. But two, I cannot be encouraging anybody here if I'm not here. Can you encourage somebody here at worship if you're not here? If you're not here with the brethren, if you're not here singing songs, if you're not here in that pew, I'd rather actually look around and see you're not here. We're like, hey, why aren't they? If we don't know, we haven't heard. And so we kind of get a little distracted because we didn't know you weren't supposed to be here. Now, if you didn't know, we knew, that kind of takes that away. That's a little encouragement on letting one another know what we're doing. But then sometimes we find out, well, it was just because of this. Or it was just because of that. And you're like, that came before being here. That came before putting God first. Do we not have the same mindset as we read there in Psalm 122 and verse 1, where he says, I was glad. I was glad when they said, let's go to the house of the Lord. Let's go and praise God. Let's go and make sacrifice. Let us go and sing psalms and hymns. Let us go glorify God and be with our brothers and sisters. Right? Whether they were going to make sacrifice, or they were going to sit there and encourage others who are sacrificing, they're going to go and make sacrifice for the sins maybe they committed. You know, let's get this off of us. Whatever, they were happy to go. Yeah, I was glad. Sunday come around, are we happy? Sunday evening come around, are we happy? Wednesday comes around, are we happy? Gospel meeting comes around, are we happy? Are we glad when they say, let's go and assemble with those who have the same faith, right? And in Acts chapter 2 and verse 46, again, I know this is a point that they were doing more than just assembling on Sunday. They were assembling and gathering and going from house to house. But it says day by day, Acts 2:46, day by day, continuing with one mind in the temple and the breaking of the bread from house to house. They were taking their meals together with gladness and sincerity of heart. Right? They continued daily. Congregation that I worshiped at, one of the more influential men of the congregation was a Sunday morning goer. Just put it that way. He was a simply using Sunday morning goer. He didn't go Sunday night, did not go Wednesday night. He was a Sunday morning goer. And I asked him one time, I asked him why is it that he doesn't come? And the mindset wasn't that there was something else going on. There's something he's too busy with work, or he's got, you know, some animals or farming going on that he had to take care of. But it was just a mindset of, well, it's not commanded. We don't have to. And then he'd go on to say, kind of referring to this verse, we need to be doing more. And we need to be meeting with each other outside that building and doing more stuff and this and that. And going down the phrase, I couldn't disagree with him. I agree, there's more we should be doing. We should be doing more. I should be doing more, right? I should be doing more in visiting and calling and checking up on people. But that doesn't mean do more and take away from what we are doing. How does that make sense? We need to be doing more so I don't do what we already do. We need to have a closer relationship with one another, but I'm not going to be there Sunday night or Wednesday for Bible class. For what reason? Just because. How are we considering one another? And how are we encouraging and building up each other if you aren't here? We need to be here so that we can fulfill that command. While we are here, I'm going to ask this question. Are we distracted? Are we distracted? Now, I want to take a side note before I jump into some points here. Is that I know there's certain things that go on that you can't control. I'm primarily thinking about those who have the littlest kids. Because they're still in training. They're still being taught. But at some point, right, that comes to a stop. That your older kids are setting the example. They're doing well, but your younger ones aren't. And so they grow up, and eventually they stop being a little. And so we understand to an extent of some things that go on while we're here. We're going through the lesson, while we're taking the Lord's Supper, while we're. But you all can remember when my little ones were young, and I had to do this a little more often, right? Because I don't know if they were distracting you, but they were distracting me. But then we correct and we stop doing those distracting things. Are we distracting? Are we considering one another as we go through our worship? 1 Corinthians chapter 14 and verse 40, if you will. 1 Corinthians chapter 14 and in verse 40. It says, but all things must be done properly and in orderly manner. Right? As we gather together and we worship, when we go back to Jesus and the woman at the well, he brings out the point that God is spirit, we must worship in spirit and in truth. So we worship, and our mindsets need to be in the right place. Right? We need to worship and have our mind focused on the songs that are being sung. And we need to focus on the scriptures that are being read. And our focus needs to be on the death of Christ. While we take the Lord's Supper, we need to be listening to the words of prayer that take place at the beginning of services, during the Lord's Supper, at the end of services. And so we need to make sure all things are done in order, orderly, and in a good manner, in the right way. And that we're not doing our part in distracting others from service. Again, for most of worship, I'm up here at the front. I don't see what happens behind, other than when I'm up here during my lesson, while the invitation song's going on, singing nights, I get to be up here a little bit longer while I'm singing some songs. But the beginning of worship, during announcements, first prayer, I'm in the back. And while I'm up here, you see stuff, right? You see somewhat of what people are doing. You see some people who seem to slouch back and don't care about what's going on at all. Seeing what some people, I know, and no offense, you use your phone, tablet, whatever you want, if that's what you use for your Bible. But it seems like some people are strolling more than what verses I'm going to. And then you see people who lean over and they're always, they're saying this over here, they're saying that over there. Talking to one another during worship. Always having something to say. And honestly, I get up here and I see people doing that. If I'm preaching, I'm like, did I say something wrong? I do. I get caught up. I'm like, hey, dude, they're going to come say something to me after worship, aren't they? So I got to keep on preaching while my mind is not focused anymore. That. Other things that we can be doing that are distracting. People are beside you, and they see that you're doing something besides being on the Bible, on your tablet, or the phone. They see that you're texting somebody. They see that you're playing a game or checking the update of a football game or doing something else. Are you helping your brethren worship God, or are you distracted? Are you discouraged? 1 Corinthians 10, verse 32, right? We don't want to be that stumbling block. And I know I don't want to go too far in taking any verses out of context. I don't want to do that at all. But I believe you can see where the point is being made, right? Give no offense to either Jew or Greek or to the church of God. You know, as we consider not being that stumbling block in other points, it's the same point here, is that we don't want to cause others to miss out on worshiping God. We don't want to be the one that causes them to lose their focus on the songs that we're singing, on the scriptures that are being read, on one who is supposed to be examining themselves and remembering the sacrifice of God, And then when we get to those verses in 1 Corinthians 11, it tells us we take this in an unworthy manner, that we're bringing judgment upon ourselves. I don't want to be the reason that they didn't take that in a worthy manner. Are we distracting? How about with what we wear? And understand, I didn't put any verses on that. Because I know we get caught up, and if you want to, we have a Bible study. I can put another lesson together on this point. There's a lot to consider there. What we wear. Because when we talk about modesty, we talk about should we be giving our best as we gather together and we worship our God. And we all have different opinions on this point. I know, talk to many people about it. It's the same thing everywhere you go. But are we distracting? Like, when you're up here and you're leading worship, and you got other stuff on your shirt, there's people trying to focus on that. Right? I remember when I was younger, started wearing ties. I wanted some fun ties. I wanted ties that had the Looney Tunes on them. That's me being a devil. And this and that. But then people start focusing on, what's that on this tie? They start focusing on that, right? Or you start wearing something with other things, leading people's mindset away from just focused on God. So that's something to consider. Consider that when you're getting ready to come and worship God and leading in services. How about, again, if a brother and sister in Christ, or more than one brother or sister in Christ, has approached you and asked you and told you, you know, we don't think that's appropriate to wear when we gather together here at the church building to worship our God, to study the Bible. And then we ignore that. You know, we don't think it's appropriate. We don't think it's modest. Man or woman. Right. And mindset that is during the Lord's Supper. Right? Let's use that. You're doing the Lord's Supper and you're passing the trays on it. Maybe you're wearing something too short. And they're trying to focus on the sacrifice of Christ, but we have to keep our eyes open as you're going down the aisles to see if the tray is coming. And here it is, your skirt or dress is coming up here. We got to make sure we're not looking down. Because what we're wearing, do we consider others when we come to worship in what we wear? I go down the point of, should we dress up? I like to wear suits. I do. I love ties. If I had more money, I'd have more suits and ties and shirts. It's what I like to wear. Do you have to wear a dress shirt and a dress tie and a button? No. Let me get that clear. I'm not saying you have to do that. But I believe consideration should be made of what we're wearing. Why we're wearing. Used to be called Sunday clothes. I can still say that to my kids when they ask what they need to pack. One pack of Sunday outfit, one pack of Wednesday outfit. Now again, I know brethren and I know congregations that go further than what I think. They think that the men should wear a tie and a jacket on Wednesday nights too. I don't know. Which one's right? Which one's wrong? Can't say. We have examples in the Old Testament when the priests went before the Lord. They had to wash themselves. They had to cleanse themselves. They had to put on holy garments before they came and made sacrifice to God. And so we look at that and say, all right. But then you also had the Pharisees who tried to adorn themselves and dress themselves up and make them so big that that's all their focus was on. Their hearts were in the wrong place. And so we don't want to go too far in one way. We don't want to go too far the other. But I know, and this isn't a question of if people have stuff better to wear, because if you're a member here, I've seen you wear good stuff. I've seen Facebook pictures of you wearing nice stuff. And so it's not a question of you have. But you choose to wear it here for that, but you don't choose it to wear it to be here and praise God. We feel like it's just a time to come and be coming. And I ask you, I know we're doing the same thing Sunday night, Sunday morning. We are. We're coming together singing songs, praising God, offering up the Lord's Supper. doing a lesson, giving. But our attire just changed completely from Sunday night to Sunday to Wednesday night. Why? Are we considering what we're saying? I know my mind said what we're saying to God, but what we're saying to each other is that it's really not that important. Yes and no. You know, I can't sit here and say, thou shalt wear this and thou shalt wear not wear that. For some reason, people think it's important to dress up on Sunday morning, but then Sunday night doesn't mean anything. I don't get it. And to me, it's discouraging. When we dress casually, that's what was. And I know, like I said, I know another congregation would ask, what's the difference for Wednesday night and Sunday night? I try to bring out my points on what is the difference there. There's a lot of things that we need to consider. Are we discouraging? Are we encouraging? And again, I hope that I'm not just discouraging, but helping us take things in consideration. The next one I want to ask is, are you participating? And I don't mean just in leading worship. That's part of it for the men. That's part of it for helping with the Lord's Supper and taking care of that, or signing up to walk up, as Aaron likes to get on to us for. Are you participating in singing? Ephesians 5, verse 19. Ephesians 5, looking there at verse 19. As it reads here, it says, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns, spiritual songs, singing and making melody with your heart to the Lord. I ask, who is it talking to? Who is it talking to here? Is it just talking to certain people? Or is that speaking to the entire congregation, to all the brethren in Ephesus, and all the brethren in Colossians? Right? Because we see that in Colossians chapter 3. And yet, I'm telling you, there are times it seems to be saying certain people, you look out while we're leading the invitation song, or when I'm up here on singing night or on Wednesday night, some people don't sing. Their mouths are not moving at all. And if I see it, it's like, why aren't they singing? Person beside you can't hear you singing. A person in front of you or beside you, they're like, why doesn't that person ever sing? I've had people ask me that. Should I say anything to this person if I notice that they're not, you know, singing? They don't say who it is. We're commanded to sing, to teach and admonish one another with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with melody and grace in your heart. Who is exempt from this command? Oh, I'm not a good singer. That's not what it says. I don't know how to read this. I don't either. I don't know how to read some music. Are you singing? Are you falling along during worship? Whether that's in prayer, whether that's in the lesson, whether that's the talk before the Lord's Supper, are you listening, right? As James 1, verse 22, there's telling, be doers and not hearers only. Well, it does start with hearing, though, right? Romans 10, verse 17, faith come by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Right? We're supposed to be listening to the words, listening to the words in the hymns that we sing. Listening to the scriptures that are being read. Listening to the words that are supposed to help prepare our minds to take the Lord's Supper. Listening to the words to help us have the right mindset as we give back to God. But again, are you listening? Or when people behind you, beside you, and they see you, or they see you talking, they see you doing other stuff, and they, again, being distracted because you're not following along, doing your part. Right, Acts 16, verse 25, and this is the verse that Aaron had just read Wednesday night. And it just goes to show again what singing can do. what the prayer can do, because as they prayed and they sang, as they were locked up in prison, it says the prisoners were listening to them. Acts 16, verse 25 says, "But at about midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns of praise to God, and the prisoners were listening." They were listening. They were locked up. They didn't have the old law in their hands to say, "Look over here in Isaiah." But they continued to praise God, and because of their praise, they were able to help others if they're willing to listen. Are we participating? Right? Again, the Lord's Supper. It's something we do together. We do together. So we need to make sure we're doing our part. So I've got one final point to bring out this morning. Are we building up or are we tearing down? Again, my goal is not to tear everybody down this morning. But make us each, because I know there's things I can improve, things I need to do better to help build up my brethren. But are we doing our part to build up each other? 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 11. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, we're looking there in verse 11. It says, "Therefore, encourage one another and building up one another, just as you also are doing." Continue to encourage. Continue to build up. This evening's lesson is going to be right here, Matthew chapter 5. So I'm not going to dive deep into this verse. But it's talking about being salt above it, verse 12. And then in verse 13, you know, you can go into verse 12. Start at the beginning of these points. Being salt, and then being the light. And then you let your light so shine that men may see your works of what? And glorify God. We'll see tonight that what we do can help others glorify God. Again, when we bring out the point of, are you singing? You're not singing so that people will praise you and about how beautiful voice you are. You sing out to praise God, and so that when others see you singing out, hear you, they are going to praise God. Right? And then when you're here and you're gathered together, they praise God because they see you putting God first, and you're considering your brethren deeper. When we pray to God, we give Him thanks, and we say amen together, and we are praying together. That prayer is not just His prayer, but that prayer is our prayer. That we pray for those who are sick, and we pray for our leaders, and we pray for our elders, and we pray for the congregation, and we pray, you know, that the worship be accepted, and when we pray for all those things, we're praying that together. So again, when we go back to Hebrews 10, verses 24 and 25, let us consider one another, how to stimulate love, how to encourage each other in good works. We got to remember that our worship is not about asking, is it wrong? Right? So I think that's the attitude sometimes. Well, the Bible doesn't say I have to go on Wednesday and Sunday. It just says I have to go once to make sure I take the Lord's Supper and I give. And then I've done my singing together and I've done my praying. Do I have to? But rather, should I? Should I be there as much as possible? Do I have to dress a little nicer when we come to worship? Should I? Should I consider dressing up just a little bit? Or at least putting on some decent clothes? Not like I'm going out and working in the garden, but that I'm coming to worship our God. Again, I know there's times where you're coming straight in, out of work, and you're coming straight here. Come straight here. Wear your work clothes. You didn't have time to change. You didn't have time to take a shower. That's fine. Not trying to stop me from that. But oftentimes, we're coming from home. We had time to consider what we wanted. We had time to prepare our minds to come and worship. We had time to prepare our songs, the lead songs. We had time to prepare, you know, our thoughts for the Lord's Supper. We had time to prepare. Let us not make this just a habit of, well, I have to be there and I'm checking the box off. But rather, we're here for a purpose, to glorify God and to build up our brethren. I don't want to leave without extending the invitation this morning. If you're here and you need prayers of the brethren, or if you're here and you know what you need to do in order to be saved and you're ready to make that confession and be baptized and wash your sins, we're happy to assist you. But let us know.